Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spesh.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Hello. Welcome back.
Right? It's been a while.
It has. It's been a vacation from you.
It's been a vacation from a vacation for a vacation. Wow. Yeah, it's been...
It's been quite a busy summer.
I still have my July calendar up.
Yeah.
September already. It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a chaotic thing keeping the shows going. And
I did get some messages while you were away, and I don't know how to do anything about the online stuff. So it's like, hey, I messaged the guys back. Hey, I'm just going to blame Sean.
Go ahead. You know what? Like I crossed my T's and dotted my I's, and then glitches happened.
Yeah.
But easy to fix glitches.
Well, the few guys that messaged me, they said they were able to find the ones that didn't upload. They found it elsewhere, like, because it did go to YouTube. And
yeah.
So
I had to put it on YouTube separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that worked. And they said they could find it on our website and they could find it on YouTube, but
iTunes,
and it's the FM, what is it?
Player FM?
Player FM just didn't work or something. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all working now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Even the smoothest plans get a wrinkle every now and then.
Exactly.
But, hey, whatever. It's all good. It's all good. So, you had your good trip out west.
I did.
And I headed east.
Mm-hmm.
Not as far as you, but...
Well, not as far as me, but it wasn't until we started discussing it prior to recording just now that Quetico is the same distance in the opposite direction.
Right.
So it's one of those things. I keep putting off Quetico because of the drive. It's like, I just keep thinking of the, like, I can do it. Siobhan can handle the ride. But then the kids are going to whine and whine. And then I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to...
Two words for you.
Turn this car around.
Chloroform.
There you go.
Kevin, give him that form, the chloroform.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to drive, but like I say, at one point, I just find a spot, pull over. And,
yeah, I've done that too.
And just have a
easy
few hour snooze and then up and at them again. And so I went to the Manicouagan Reservoir, a.k.a. Lac Manicouagan, a.k.a. Manicouagan Crater, a.k.a. the Eye of Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Choose whatever you want to call it. Google any of those.
Yeah, and let us know if we're saying it wrong. I always called it Manicouagan, but I guess it's...
Quaggan.
Is it Manicouagan?
Manicouagan.
Hmm.
I say Manicouagan when I'm spelling it.
Yes.
But it's Manicouagan.
There you go.
So... Approximately 214 million years ago.
Back when you were a kid.
Way, way back. Asteroid, approximately 5 kilometers or 3 miles in diameter, slammed into the Earth. There was a kaboom. Mm-hmm. A shattering kaboom.
I did some reading on this, and they're saying they think... Do you remember the Shoemaker-Levy that hit, like, 9 hits on Saturn?
Mm-hmm.
So they strongly believe that there was about 3 or 4. It broke up as it entered Earth, and then there's, like, a row of craters that hit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only one that's really obvious. It was the biggest of the asteroids or meteors that hit.
Asteroid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got in the whole thing because they use that term asteroid and meteor differently.
Yeah.
But apparently there is a different, and this is an asteroid.
Yeah.
Right? Left an impact crater about 100 kilometers, 60 miles across. Mount Babel is the central peak in the center formed by the post-impact uplift. Uplift is the uplift is René Levasseur Island. Originally, there was 2 half moon lakes formed on each side of the island, so it wasn't actually an island at the time. Lake Mouchalagan to the west and Lake Manicouagan to the east. In the 1960s, they built the Daniel Johnson Hydroelectric Dam, also known as Manic 5. And this caused the area to flood, and the two lakes joined, forming the Manicouagan Reservoir as it is now. So it hasn't always been a big circular lake.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. If you Google the Eye of Quebec, you're going to know it right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every picture you see, 98% of the pictures, 99% of the pictures are from space.
Yes.
Because it's such a big deal that you can see this thing from space.
Yep.
Right?
It's huge.
When they built the dam, it caused the area to flood. The two lakes join. The Louis Babel Ecological Reserve makes up what's the central part of the island. You're not allowed to go there. A large bay that reaches far into the island interior is known as Memory Bay. Part of the island falls under strict ecological reserves managed by the government of Quebec, where unauthorized camping or damaging the pristine boreal ecosystem is prohibited. It is illegal to venture into the reserve without written permission and can result in hefty fines.
Mm-hmm.
Before I left, somebody actually said he knew somebody that ended up with a fine for venturing back.
So and he was just walking back. It wasn't hunting or anything. So it was just even the presence. You can't even be there.
Yep.
Wow.
And I made sure. They said, you can camp around the on the shore if you can find a spot. But that's pretty much it. So I saw this. I've had my, like many people, I've had my eyes on this for a while. And I said, you know what? I haven't had a good solo trip in a while. And I'm sending Tracy back to Japan for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
So why don't I take a week and a half and go on a nice little solo paddle? And I did some research on where you can launch from and all. And one thing led to another. And I'm thinking, ooh. With all our schedules and you taking prime time off and heading west. And I ended up with the last couple weeks of August.
Yep.
Okie dokie. Off I go. I made my plans, my maps and all that sort of stuff. Ordered the topographical map. Made my whole dossier on things. Knowing that probably day one it's all just going to go. Just wait for the thrilling thing that actually happened. So the goal was to circumnavigate René Levasseur Island. So do the crossing, which is like 11 kilometers, circle the whole island, and then zip straight back across.
Okay.
Second goal, see a caribou.
Oh, yeah?
It's one thing I haven't seen.
Still haven't seen one.
Still haven't seen one. I wanted to see one. I went up to Woodland Caribou hoping to see one and didn't. So I figured apparently there's a good chance I'm going to see one here. Third, relax, disconnect, and unpeople-fy my life.
That's a good thing to do.
Right? 13 days. So, yeah, I got all my stuff together, packed it all up in the truck, thinking I didn't have to portage.
Yes.
So take whatever you want. It fits in the boat. You're good to go. Now, most of the stuff I've seen people, the itineraries and stuff of people that have done it are far and few between.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many people have actually done it, but the people that have reported doing it are like one every 2-3 years sort of thing.
Okay. Not a lot.
No. Most people have done it in 2 or more kayaks, so a group of them going around. A couple guys did it in small sailboats. One guy tried it in a solo in an inflatable kayak, but ended up having to be rescued.
Oh.
I think on the other side, so just over halfway. I've not seen anybody post anything about doing it solo in a canoe.
Yeah.
A lot of it is... I do it in a kayak because, you know, that's kayak water, not canoe water.
It is kayak water.
So I figured, you know what? Now, it's not to say nobody has done it solo in a canoe.
Yeah.
I just haven't found any records of it. So I figured I'm going to go do that solo in a canoe because, you know, why not?
Exactly.
Right? I can carry more crap. The big thing to wrap your head around is the 17-hour drive there.
Yes.
From Toronto. This is the outside of Toronto. I don't mind driving. My thing is you get your snacks, you get some drinks, You get a couple of audio books and some good tunes. You hit the highway, throw it on cruise control, and just nice, easy, relaxing 17-hour drive there.
Not a problem.
I knew there was a ferry at Tadoussac to go across.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because Google Maps will give you a couple directions, you can head up to Saguenay, cross the bridge there, and back down. It only adds about 20 minutes to your trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, let's go check out Saguenay. I will not do that at night again. Because coming down on the east side, yep, once you cross the bridge, is so windy.
And oh.
It's 90 kilometers. Except now it's 65. There's a curve. Oh, yeah. It's 55. It's 75. It's 50. It's 90. It's 65. Oh, my God. How can you people not make a straight line? Go home, construction guys. You're drunk. I added the half hour, did that one, got to Baie-Comeau the first night. There's an Irving, if I don't have to pay for a hotel, cause I'm only going to sleep for a few hours.
Yep.
If you look at some of the places where the big rigs park,
there's usually
a little side area that rigs can't fit.
Mm-hmm.
You just tuck your vehicle into there. Grab a sleeping bag.
Yep.
Grab a crack your window a little bit and
yep,
grab a few hours of snooze. Then you get up, continue on. So that's what I did there in Baie-Comeau. There was a Irving oil station there. So filled up with gas, checked all the tie downs, make sure everything was still good. And then, put the seat back and slept for a few hours and woke up and everything was good. I was all ready to go. Didn't have to stop for gas or anything. Just back on the road and headed straight north for
refreshed.
The all nice and refreshed, and continued the drive to Station Wapishka. There's a hotel, the launch point there. But to get there, you have to drive past and almost against the giant Daniel Johnson Manic 5 hydroelectric dam. It's a multiple arch buttress dam.
It's amazing.
Really
look
cool
at,
looking.
Look up photos of it. It's
and
amazing.
You come right up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're driving, you're thinking, oh, there it is. I'm going to bypass it. No. You're like, I could get out and whiz on it. Like you're that close to it, right? And so checked out that and then continued on the drive. There's one section, all of a sudden it turns into dirt road, then it goes back to gravel road, then it goes to dirt road, then back to gravel road, or paved road, and get up to Station Wapishka, unloaded my truck, parked my truck. They're very, very friendly there. I know a lot of people are like, oh, do you speak French? No. Oh, uh-oh. What are you going to do when you have to tell? I said, I'll wing it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. But when I got there, the lady there was, spoke some English, and I spoke some French. So between the two of us, we knew what was going on. And $5 a day to park.
That's amazingly low.
That is like cheap at twice the price.
Yeah.
It was like $65 or something at the end
mm-hmm.
to park my truck for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. And there's
I've gone to the airport and it's almost that.
I know. So you were in there, so you saw a bunch of people, I assume.
Yep.
But not too many people do the full circumnavigation, but a lot of people are out on the water, I assume.
No.
No?
They have paddle boards, kayak, and stuff that you can use to doodly do around sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't see anybody on the water.
Huh.
I saw one guy on the water out there.
Yeah.
Me. Me, myself, and I. All three of us jumped in a boat and off we went. Station Wapishka, very, very friendly. If you are into hiking,
go up there. Nice area.
They got the Gruel Mountains there. Wow. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Hmm. And they do trips and stuff from there.
Okay.
So, check out Station Wapishka. Wapishka. And everything they offer there. And like I say, for those worried about not speaking French, it really wasn't an issue. So, but I got there and unloaded everything, got the truck situated, parked over to the side so, you know, nothing would happen, and all ready to go. The girl there was, going out for a couple of days. I said, no, I'm circumnavigating the entire island. And she's like, ooh, like a grand tour. I go, yep. And she go, oh, I'm excited for you. And I'm like, I'm excited for me. So I had a bit of a chuckle. So, it was pretty good and whatnot. So the plan, I left copies of my maps, my itinerary, my whole dossier, planned camping spots, my spot tracker link with people. I had this guy, Derek, watching for forest fires and extreme weather because Manicouagan is known for its winds and its storms. In all the research I have done, everybody talks about the wind and the storms.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, I'm ready for that. I let everybody know I'm paddling counterclockwise starting at Station Wapishka, taking up to 13 days. I gave myself 13 because I'd throw in a couple of rest days. I threw in a couple of days in case of bad weather, being windbound, and whatnot. So I gave myself 13 days. I didn't know that it would take 13 days or not, but if it did, I got it. If it didn't,
yep,
I got it. That sort of stuff.
For where you are, just because, you know, you talked about windy and weather and whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm looking right now and it's about 95% of it is further north in Moosonee Moose Factory.
Yeah.
Latitude-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was chilly.
It's quite far north.
Yeah. But you know what? It's like not considered northern Quebec. It's like central Quebec.
Correct.
Central eastern Quebec. It's 3 hours from Labrador City.
Yeah. Yes,
and you
exactly.
Think Labrador City, wait, that's exactly. Way! It's only 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And part of me is sitting there thinking, I should have driven the 3 hours.
Get
just gone to Labrador
gone
City,
to Lab City yeah.
So that I could say I've been there.
Yeah.
have a Timmy's, turn yeah. around, fill up with gas, and
yeah.
come back home.
Exactly, but it's not that far.
No, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right? So when people started to find out where I was planning on going,
mm-hmm.
I'm solo canoe trip, going to Manicouagan, the amount of people that said, I always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
It was always on their radar to go paddling there. Like, everything under the sun. This is my trip I've always wanted to do. Like, the amount of people was phenomenal. Yet, I know no one
yeah, exactly.
that has actually gone there before I said, or even mentioned going there. Because if I knew people wanted to go, this probably would have been about my 7th trip.
Yeah.
And like I said, you go online, you find a few trip reports, but there's not a ton of them. Most people do the circumnavigation in kayaks, like I said. I don't think I came across anybody that's done it solo in a canoe, like mm-hmm. I said, and not to say there isn't, but I got to think it's been done, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some insight would have been nice.
I know, right?
Right? You do all this yeah. research into stuff, and then you're like, guess I'm winging it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's just get some of this. I don't want this to come across as a negative trip report of this thing, because I had fun.
Yeah.
You're going to hear wind, waves, wind, waves, wind, waves, wind, waves, rocks a lot. Don't put that down as to I had a bad time. It's part of it. I knew it was part of it.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. And I just dealt with some of it was maybe a bit extreme. I should have called it quits, but I didn't till it was almost too late. But we'll get into that later. Awesome place to paddle. If not for the long drive, I'm sure more people would go. Like we were saying there, it's like the distance from Toronto to Quetico scares a lot of people off.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that massive drive for a weekend trip.
I know, right? Yeah.
Or a week trip. That sort of deal. I hope you like wind and waves, tiny to massive. Rain and hot sun are normal. So it interchanged, but it could be this time of year as well with the rain and that. But it was hot, sunny, where I'm burning my arms with sunscreen, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you get rain.
Yeah,
and you got your rain jacket on, and then the sun comes out. Then it's just cloudy, and you don't know what's going to go on, which is worse.
Yeah.
Did I mention the wind and the rain?
I think you have.
It is big water, big space.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, again, like, I'm one of those people who's like, oh, I want to go there. We've talked about this trip mm-hmm. many a times from the time we've been doing the podcast. And I never really appreciated the distances because I've never measured the distances.
I appreciate it now.
It's a long ways across.
When you take a photo of the hills in the distance, they always look so small. Because they're so far away. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to take a picture of those hills. And then you look at your photo. They look so small. Well, that's because they're 11 kilometers away.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is so big. You're paddling and paddling and paddling and paddling and paddling. And you're like, I'm not getting any closer. But you look behind you and you're getting some distance away
really
from where you left.
Shore now.
But it is big. Space, mm-hmm. wide open sky, big water.
Yeah. It's amazing.
If you want to be off the water by, say, 4 p.m., start looking for a spot between 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
The island is all rock. You got to remember, asteroid hit it.
Yeah.
Threw all the rocks up in the air, shattered and melted. And boop, 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 and it all plopped right back down, all willy-nilly, and then left the wind and the weather.
Yeah. So all the rocks are like tumbled rocks, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of round rocks. So 214 million years of wind, wave, and atmospheric action. So it's just tumbled rock.
Yeah,
rock
well, it's like all boulders. Mm-hmm. The majority of it's all big boulder gardens, right? There's kilometer-long boulder gardens, gravel bars, a sand spot every so often where you might be able to pitch a tent. But I know on the north end, I went through about 6 kilometers of boulder garden.
Oh.
I was looking for a spot. There was no spot.
No place to pull up.
There was no place. There wasn't, like, unless you're a mountain goat and can sleep standing up, you are not camping there.
Yeah.
At the end, you know, you're, like I said, you just start looking early
for
a spot you can pitch your tent. Silence.
Hmm.
In the evening, if the wind and the waves die down, it is so silent.
Hmm.
There was one night I'm sitting there just watching and there was no wind, no way. It was like glass. The sun sets, you know, in the middle of the sunset there watching it go down. And all I hear is this foom, 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 foom. Thinking, what the heck is that?
What is that noise?
My pulse. I could hear my pulse in my ears.
Yeah.
That, I started banging things just to make sure I hadn't gone, because I swear I had gone deaf. So I just banged a few things.
What happened to my hearing?
Yeah. It was so quiet. Lack of songbirds in the trees.
Yeah, that'd be strange, eh? And I've been hearing about that from a few people, even out west and here in Ontario. Yeah.
We ran into that probably about 12 years ago
in
Algonquin. There was no songbirds. Mm-hmm. I heard like 2 chickadees in the entire 11 days that I was out there.
Hmm.
I heard a crow or a raven. I heard loons. There was gulls. There was terns.
Yeah.
A couple of little, you know, shorebirds sort of things.
Hmm.
But no
songbirds.
Songbirds. Yeah. No jays, no chickadees, except for the 2 times I heard. Nothing.
Hmm.
It was weird. Primarily boreal coniferous forest with black spruce, balsam fir, jack pine. Also has birch and trembling aspen. When you get to shore, you think, oh, you know, the rain's going to come in. Maybe I'll set up a tarp in the tent, or I'll set my in the trees, or I'll set my tent up in the trees. Not happening. There is a solid, thick wall of shrubbery.
Okay.
Between the rocky beach and the trees.
Huh.
You can't get into the trees.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of them where you can, it's coniferous.
Okay.
So they're lower and you're not getting a tent or a tarp and or whatever in there. So you need to bring poles for a tarp or a bug tent or something like that. You need to bring extendable poles
yeah.
that you can use because you're not using trees.
Mm-hmm.
And before the shrubbery, because it's a reservoir, so the water goes up and down
at different times,
piles and piles of driftwood.
Yeah.
So it's doing everything it can to block you from getting into those trees. Everything.
Yeah.
So, day one, I get up there. Barely a cloud in the sky. Loaded up the canoe, applied the sunscreen, which, you know, load up the canoe, about to get in. I forgot the sunscreen. Unload some of the canoe to get where my sunscreen was. Apply it, put everything back in the boat. Approximately 11 kilometers from Station Wapishka to René Levasseur Island. And like I say, you launch and you paddle, 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 yeah. paddle. As long as you have something to gauge
a
your speed
point.
On your sides, yeah. you can tell you're moving.
Yeah.
But once you get past that last point
yeah.
and it's wide open water,
yeah.
you've got nothing to gauge your speed.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm really not getting anywhere.
I don't know
anywhere.
If I'm going sideways, backwards, or what.
Yeah. So it was nice. And then about two-thirds of the way across, the wind picked up a bit. And, you know, small waves starting to hit the side. Eventually, they turned into one-foot rollers and some white caps. But I was getting close enough now to the couple of big islands that are over there. So when I got around the islands, I stopped and looked at some of the... There's one island, the first island you hit, has a big cliff face.
Okay.
So you can see the different types of rock stuff that's going in there. And there's like, I think they call it impactite. So when everything went up and rock melded together and so you see all these small rocks inside a bigger rock and that sort of thing. It's like eating peanuts with peanut butter.
Yep.
You know, and then you get the chunks of peanut inside that peanut butter. That's what it looked like. And so once I got there, you know, checked that sort of out and I can weave between the islands using them for some cover and stuff like that. Made it across, turned north and that side wind became a tailwind.
There you go. That helps.
Which was really nice. Now, what the maps look like, because I got my topographical, plus I did a whole bunch of the Google Maps stuff, zoomed in and made a ton of those to with different points on them, mileage between each point. So I had a reference to what I was, you know, how far it was to the next decent sort of spot thing. What the difference between my maps and what's actually out there at times was huge.
Okay.
And it's a reservoir, so the water could be any level. It could be low today, it could be high today. And like I say, there was one point where it was like, that water used to be 40 feet up. So it was, it was really low. Some of the landmarks and that I was basing my travel on and to where to, I want to camp there. Looks like a camp spot there. Those are not there anymore.
Yeah, you weren't recognizing.
They're either way above, so they're not looking like they're supposed to.
Yeah, not really accessible.
Or they're underwater, right?
Yeah.
And I had based my travel days based on approximately 25 kilometers of paddling every day. I did not see the spot I was looking for at 23 kilometers that day, day one, and it turned into a 30-kilometer day. Before I found the next decent site.
Yeah.
There was another mark on my map, and I made camp there. And it was at approximately the 1 o'clock spot on the island. And so if you look at the island like it's a clock.
Yeah.
So north is, you know, 12 o'clock and 3, 9, 6, that sort of deal. This was about the 1 o'clock spot on the island. Wind started to pick up really huge. And this is when the first day, and of course, you know, I've driven all day, slept for 3 hours, the rest of the night, paddled about 8 hours. So I'm like, I need to just set up camp, get something to eat, relax for a few, and go to bed.
Yeah.
The wind picked up.
Oh, no.
After much colorful language, I ended up tying my canoe to a tree.
Okay.
And then using some carabiners and rope, tied the back end of my tarp to the canoe, to the ends of my canoe, and then had two poles, which I then guy wired down to hold. Even still, I was waiting for that thing just to rip to shreds.
So you're basically sleeping under like a voyageur.
No, I set up my tent as well.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, but the tent was even still like
going
over. I picked up these little ratchets off of Amazon. They're awesome as quick tie-out ropes for the tarp.
Yeah.
And even the bug shelter I found later. Like just, they're just little ratchets with a quick release, but then you put one end on the tarp, the other end into the ground with a with a stake, and then you can tighten it just by pulling it.
Perfect tension without tying knots and
without having to tie and untie.
Yeah,
all the knots and stuff. The collapsible poles were perfect. I don't know why I've never owned them before, but I, for some reason, I was at Mech. I saw them. I said, I'm going to pick some of them bad boys up.
I bought a couple when I did my BC trip. So after you showed me them, I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
Right.
So I bought some when I was out in BC with Mike. And we used those poles quite a few times. They came in super handy, either as a center pole for the for a tarp or for holding up edges of the tarp or just from, you know, if the trees weren't really conducive for tarp, then these were the end pieces. So those poles, I bought the same poles you had. They were fantastic.
They were awesome for the bug zone. Tent. It was an absolutely beautiful day, even with the wind. The scenery all around, the Gruel Mountains across the lake and everything, it was gorgeous. Just the scenery, just to be paddling. It was a long day of paddling and stuff, but you're looking around and enjoying everything. Just seeing the different hills in the background and to the side and stuff like that. I was exhausted from the long drive and the paddle and 3 hours of sleep Saturday to Sunday evening, so call it a day pretty early. Day two, it had rained all night but stopped about 5 a.m. The wind died down a lot, but there's still some small waves. Did I mention there was wind and waves a lot? Overcast with low clouds and cool. And that's the big thing, is you don't know if it's going to clear up.
Yeah.
Or you're getting rain.
Did you get any stargazing at night?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple. And the full moon, the night of the full moon that was coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it was clouds. But the next night it was good.
Yeah.
There was no clouds. Launched around 9. It was misty out, but not raining. Tailwind was strong at times. The rain started about 11:30 finally, and then ended at 2. And that's when I discovered the joys of Boulder Gardens. 40 minutes of looking before I found a spot to camp.
Oh, wow.
We're talking kilometers of massive, like
medicine ball boulders or bigger.
Yeah, like medicine balls or the size of, what kind of dog would that be? You know, like a good sized dog.
Barrel size.
Yeah, bear barrel size. There's no way you're setting anything up on that. So there's 40 minutes. I finally found something. Set up camp. Just the black clouds are moving in. Set up the bug tent instead of the tarp so I could sit out, relax, read for a while. There was intermittent rain throughout the evening. And I was approximately at the 11 o'clock position on the island at that point. The first couple days, I made some good distance.
I was watching your GPS track, and it was like, whoa, he's been a good time.
I was surprised at the distance I made. Day three was a rest day, so it was a cold night. I could see my breath.
Yeah.
Rained on and off all night. Wind direction changed, so it would have been headwind had it been a travel day.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I had a rest day. Forecast had said rain for the day, then getting better until it was full sun on the weekend. I would find out later that was a lie.
Can't trust those weathermen.
Made breakfast, read for a bit, went out and did some photography between the rain. Sun came out in the afternoon, got really hot. So the canoe seat, because when you're paddling solo, you paddle, you turn the boat around.
Yep.
You paddle sitting in the bow seat.
Yep.
Backwards. Yep. Broke. Day one, it broke.
How are your seats mounted? Is it the seat break or the mounting?
No, the actual seat. Snap right in the middle.
Oh.
This is the third one I've seen snap like that.
Hmm,
so the second one is mine.
You gotta have go on a diet.
I don't sit in the front. tried fixing it. How I fixed them before, and this just was not having anything to do with it. So I figured I'm going to just have to paddle from the stern seat for the rest of the trip, yeah. Which wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you adjust your trim and where everything is in
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah, it'll work.
No big deal. So my canoe seat broke.
Mm-hmm.
The spot tracking was being finicky.
Yeah, we had trouble tracking you.
Yeah, I don't know what this whole
like 3 and 4 hours
yeah. thing was.
It was like, oh, is he like swimming right now? Or is the GPS underwater?
Right.
Didn't know what was going on.
Shoved up the bear's butt because he attacked me. My canoe sail ripped.
So you never got to use that. That's so unfortunate.
I used it the first day. That's why I made some good time at one point.
Yeah.
Because I had that up. But then it died and it slipped over the side. And then when the wind went to pull it back up, there was water. So right? And
it's
like,
too bad.
That was a cheapie off of Amazon. Mm-hmm. So I'm not that heartbroken, but got a few trips out of it. The valve on my inflatable pillow for sleeping,
yeah,
it cracked.
Oh, so it wouldn't hold air.
You've got to be kidding me. Zipper on my sleeping bag ripped open.
Good God.
I tried rolling over. Just zip. Oh, you got to be kidding me here. This is between day 1 and 3.
Oh, wow. Not looking good. Getting a little nervous here.
With the wind, I'm thinking I'm not having fires.
Yep.
And I had brought a couple of steaks to have for the first couple of nights sort of deal. So I dug a hole in the wet sand behind yep. my tent, using my tent and that as a windbreak. And I built up some rocks to use as a windbreak as well. Tons of, if there's no wind, tons of driftwood to build fires.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I made myself a nice fire, put my little grill over it, cooked my steaks, had that for dinner. That was the only fire I had the entire time.
Oh, wow.
Sunset started at 7:40. The temps dropped, and it was going to be another cold one. But so far, so good. So much fun. Up at 6 for breakfast, break camp, launch at 8. So I figure I can have breakfast, break camp totally, and launch within 2 hours.
So this is day 4.
This is day 4. Later on, as I'm doing this every day, I'm sitting there thinking, guys like Adam Schultz, who do these big month-long, and Frank Wolf, you know, do these massive things, and every day, get up, have breakfast, break camp, go. Set up camp at the end of the day, do dinner, go to bed, get up, have breakfast, break camp, go. Yeah, it's getting old pretty quick. I'm just leaving camp and going.
I'll eat later.
I'm just leaving camp.
Yeah.
I'll camp under a tree later. So day 4, a bit of a breeze with 1 to 1.5 foot rollers. Pretty easy ones, full sun. Heat started to pick up during the day. Nice just to paddle along, enjoying the scenery, knowing you'll end up wherever you end up at the end of the day. Right? Because at this point, I was not at any of my spots sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And you were not in any rush to meet any timeline?
Nope. I was not in anything. I was just enjoying my day, just paddle along, watch the scenery, stop somewhere and have a bite to eat, that sort of stuff. I was guzzling the electrolytes as I went, though. I had 2 Nalgenes, Nalgenes filled with water. And then I put the BioSteel and the stuff I got from Japan in there and used those and kept on going. Heard a raven.
Okay.
The first non-aquatic bird that I'd heard. Like I said, there's loons, gulls, and terns I've heard. Day started with a cool breeze, and by lunch there was no breeze and fairly calm water.
Well, that's good.
This is a beautiful glass paddle. You know, just going and not having to worry about wind and waves or fighting weather. Just put on the sunscreen and enjoy. Once again, lack of campsites, but I did find one. At about the 9 o'clock position, so I was almost halfway done. Probably been more closer to the 10 o'clock position, but so I was getting, the next day would have been halfway done. Did dinner, read for a bit, then off to bed. Worst sight for bugs so far, because there was no wind.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yep. So I'm glad I brought the bug tent. I didn't have to use bug spray the entire time.
That's good.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really nice.
It's good and bad. It's good there's no bugs. I blew the bugs away, but bad because it was windy.
Yeah. Day five started full sun, but a bit of a breeze made it feel cool. There was a small river coming out of a lake I wanted to check out, a small waterfall with rapids. So I did a little dipsy. It was like 5 minutes up this little river thingy and checked that out. Continued on. One of the landmarks I was looking for was this spit of land. But where the spit joined the mainland of the island has been washed away and eroded.
Now, instead of a spit,
so now it's a sandy island. Mm. So I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, this island isn't on my map. And then, wait a minute, this is the spit of land. Now it's an island. So that's how many things have changed,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can't totally rely on what you're seeing on the maps. Now, the other thing that I noticed pretty much day one, sorry to the flat earthers out there, but I'm using this example anyway. You know when you're sitting on the old thing, you're standing on a dock,
yeah.
and you watch the ship leave,
yeah.
and it goes over the horizon.
Yes.
But if you're on that ship, you have no idea you're going over.
You can see the line it came from starts dipping down.
If you're looking behind you, yeah. but if you're on that ship, you don't notice that it's round.
You just see that you're going out and there's more and more and more water.
Yeah. The same thing happens when you're traveling around a giant round island. Oh, I bet you when I get around this point, it's going to go.
I'm going to see the turn.
I'm
going to
see a turn left.
I'm going to see a curved lake.
No, I get around that point, and there's five more points in a straight line. I figured by day three, I should be in the Arctic because I've been just traveling in one straight line.
Which really indicates how big the water is, how big that crater
exactly.
is. Because you can't really tell that it's curving because it's just so big.
So I ended up, I would point my map, the front of the canoe with my map, in the direction I was going.
Yep.
And then I took my compass and there's a red painted area that faces north.
Yeah.
And there's the needle with the red needle.
Yes.
So wherever I'd point the black arrow on my compass to the direction I was going.
Yep.
The red wherever north was. And so if I was all of a sudden going east, the black arrow, which where I was facing,
right.
would line up with east on the dial because I would turn the north, dial to match up the painted one to match up with the actual north dial. And as I would go throughout the day going around, everything would start to move. So I was no longer going exactly east. I was going slightly off, slightly off, slightly off.
So you noticed
and then
on the compass.
So I noticed on the compass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the paddling in a round circle phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
that's what I'm calling it. So you could tell that you were going
curving.
In a circle because everything on the compass would slowly move.
Yeah.
Right, and then as you adjusted, you were no longer going exactly east. You were going off east, and it would slowly go till you were heading, right?
Yeah.
So, I started doing that with my map. So, wind and the waves kept building. Strong headwinds and white caps started. And it got so big, I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I saw a point. I thought if I can get around that, there's probably a sheltered spot that I can get to. And wait out for a bit. And I went out and I figured, okay, I've got enough room now. I should be able to turn and make it past the point.
Yeah.
As hard as I tried, I did not make it around that point. I got right towards the top of it, just to the side of it.
Just too much wind and wave out.
And just the waves were just coming right in. So I had to quickly turn and make a surf landing. So I was standing there. Oh, and it was all boulders and that. And it's just like, this is not going to end well. So I'm sort of crouched up, ready to go. And then when I see the bottom was shallow enough, jumped out, grabbed the boat. And because the big waves were coming over the back of the boat.
Yeah.
And if I just let it sit there,
it would just
filled up with water.
Yeah.
So I got out there. Obvious that I was windbound at that point.
Yeah.
And again, it from reports I had read, expect it.
Yep.
So I expected it. Just kind of hoping I would be around the point. So I did some walking around, took a little walk, found a nice camp spot on the other side of the point, down a ways. So I ended up portaging my gear. All the gear I brought that I wouldn't have to portage,
yeah.
I had to portage. But there was a big rock. So I portaged it all over there, loaded the canoe, and there was enough shelter there to be able to push off, get in, turn, and then the waves pushed me straight down into a nice sheltered beach.
Oh, perfect.
So perfect. Got down there, set up camp. Winds continued to build and build. Put up my tent. My tent was almost doubled over. The size of some of the boulders I had to use on the tie down lines for the tarp and all that sort of. Like, I'm surprised I didn't have to get heavy machinery in to move these things. Yeah, it was just lots of caribou prints on the site. So I was still hoping to see one. And I was at the 9 o'clock position.
Okay, yeah,
I was halfway done the trip. I was windbound, and that night the full moon came up straight across. Across the bay, so I could watch that.
Nice.
So it was sort of like So I had myself some Johnny Walker Black, toasted me for doing halfway, and all was good with the world. Dinner, reading for a bit, and then bed. It wasn't a good night's sleep. The wind picked up even more.
Oh, yes.
The waves got so loud, and then the rain really started. It was so loud. But we got from a few nights earlier where it was deafening.
Now you can't hear it.
Or silent. Yeah. To now you just couldn't sleep. It was so loud. Eventually, I did fall asleep. Ended with a sinus headache, but finally dozed off. Up at 7 in the morning, day 6, wind died to a slight breeze, rain stopped. I figured, I was going to get while the getting's good. So I broke camp, headed out under cloudy skies with the attitude of, we'll see what the day brings.
Yep, see how far we get.
And that was sort of the whole theme of my entire, you know what, I know the wind's coming, I know the waves are coming, the weather's going to switch between the two. As long as I can get out and paddle and enjoy the scenery, I would love to see a caribou.
I know, right?
So I just put my head down. There was a big bay I had to cross first to get to some islands. And I knew once I got there, if the winds picked up, I had some shelter. Turned out to be a really nice paddling day. But getting down towards the 7 o'clock mark, there's a big island.
Yeah.
Zigged when I should have zagged, and instead of going between the mainland and the mainland of the island and this other island, I actually went around the island, the wrong side of it. That's the first time. So this is day 6. I saw another human being.
Oh, you did see
somebody on a in his fishing boat was sitting there slowly. I don't even know if he saw me.
What are the depths? Did you look at the hydrographic charts?
There apparently is quite deep.
Okay.
I saw something on one of my maps at 178 feet something like that.
Jeez.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said, 178.
Wow.
Yeah, it's deep, apparently. There's my Quebec fishing license, which I bought in...
Well,
I used it.
Technically, you used it. You didn't catch it, but you
That's why they call it fishing, not catching. I went around the outside of the island. Again, the map showed this dead-end channel. I didn't want to go up it, but it was not there. So what I thought was the no-go dead-end channel ended up being the channel I actually wanted to go up.
You should have
gone up. So I avoided it. I took the long way around the island. It was a really nice paddle, especially in the area where the smaller islands were beside it to the west of it. Big Island was quite nice, calm water. And as I came around the bottom of the island, there was a nice campsite there, which I camped for a couple days. With the rain in that happened, I saw two partial rainbows that day. In 3 days, I saw 8 rainbows.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, rainbows aplenty.
Yeah.
But you could, so talking about how big this is, you would see these rainstorms coming and just totally miss you.
Oh, well, that's good.
On each side of you. You're like, how? That one's like 5 kilometers away. That one's 3 kilometers away. Yeah. And I got sunshine.
Yeah. Perfect.
Right? There's one, like you're looking up and you're seeing this big black storm coming. And you're just like paddling right along the edge of it. And there's all, the whole island is getting rained on,
yeah,
but the water isn't.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I like it. This works.
I set up camp and sat there enjoying the sunset. And then I heard this noise. There was a rather large otter swimming in circles just offshore.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a snort or a coughing.
Hmm.
You know when a dog goes swimming and gets water in it?
Snuffle, yeah.
And just that sort of cough?
Yeah.
He was out there doing circles, looking at the land.
Yeah.
Doing that.
He's saying, so you're in my spot.
I'm thinking that's exactly what I was in his favorite spot.
Speaking of otters, while you were gone, there was another attack of when we got attacked by an otter. I think it was in California.
Really?
And remember how we were like, otters get that big? Well, it was like one of those big ones, right?
The big sea otters are like 6 feet tall or long?
Well, tall. I don't know. Tall. 6 feet long.
Well, if he stood up.
They don't stand up, though.
Well, not with that attitude.
Anyway.
So the next day, day 7 was rest day. Morning was overcast, looked like rains. The weather forecast I got before I left, because it's hard to find weather for there, but I got the forecast.
Yeah.
It said it was going to be raining, getting better throughout the week. And then the weekend was going to be beautiful, full sun. Today was supposed to be full sun. Lies. Absolute lies. Cold breeze coming from the north. Spent some time dodging rain showers with the photo gear, taking some black and white shots of the rock formations and stuff. As I was sitting there under my tarp having a bite to eat, I remembered I have the What Three Words app.
I don't know if I have that anymore.
On my phone. So I opened up the What Three Words, and I opened what my words were. Arisen, asparagus, which I hate, resounding. Arisen, asparagus, resounding. If you put that into What Three Words, you will see the beach
that
I camped on.
Yeah.
On the bottom of that little island.
Arisen, period, asparagus, period, resounding, period.
And you will see
The
beach I camped on.
So I looked it up, and it does give you options. And the options are because they have slightly different. So you have arisen. It could be arise or risen. So the first word has three different options. And there's one that's in the UK, and there's one that's in Ohio and whatever. So you have to get arisen, asparagus, and resounding.
Resounding, because one was rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and choose the one in Quebec. And it will show you exactly where it was. So that was cool that worked. High winds, thunder. So I spent time reading in the bug tent. Late in the afternoon, the wind died, sky cleared. So I took advantage and I went out fishing. And I caught a big bag of nothing. 2 or 3 bags of nothing.
Gosh darn it.
Winds picked up after dinner, but not too bad. So I just sat there relaxing and walking up and down the beach, doing some exploring. The thing about these rock gardens and stuff like that, this island is a geology freak's like dream.
Well, just imagine like any surface rocks would have been tumbled. Anything depending on the depth of that 5 kilometer asteroid, like it churned everything up. So you'd see a lot of stuff that's just thrown up around.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Different types of stuff, quartz and stuff I've never seen before, impactite, and there's some fossil stuff. And of course, you don't take it because
it's a park.
You're not supposed to be taking stuff like that. But it's cool to pick it up, look it over, take a couple photos, that sort of thing. So lots of exploration up and down. Day 8, the day started overcast and cool again. There's a research station up on the hill just across from that island. And if you zoom in, then, and of course it's off limits, you can see there's roads. There's some buildings up there, and there's roads that go all through the island. And as I'm paddling by, I see two trucks on the beach.
Oh, yeah, that'd be weird to see.
They would have had to come in over the winter, over the ice.
Or dropped off by barge or something. I don't know. Probably, you know what? Probably ice. Probably ice.
It's just weird seeing on the beach. There's a couple of...
what is that? There's no roads here.
So yeah, it's neat to see that. A couple of vehicles there. I assume that to get up the hill and go up the roads to do some research and all that sort of stuff. Winds were frustrating. So I drew it. It's easier to see when you draw a picture. But going across the bay, the winds there don't act like regular winds. Mm-hmm. If you're on a lake and you're paddling and paddling and paddling and you're fighting the headwind, you know, you're going, hey, dude, let's get up behind that point. We'll take a rest, grab a drink, and, you know, just relax for a few seconds in the calm water. Not here. Not here. There's no rest points.
Oh, yeah.
So the wind, if you got a tailwind coming and you're going across, you're going to go from point to point
across a bay.
Across a bay.
Mm-hmm.
You got that tailwind pushing you to about two-thirds to three-quarters away across. The wind also scoots down into the bay, follows the contour of the bay, and then as you're coming across, hammers you from the side.
So the trees weren't thick enough to stop the wind from... Because normally, if you're going through a bay or in Algonquin Park or mm-hmm. Killarney or something, the trees itself will dampen that wind effect.
Oh, no, they did not dampen that wind effect. It followed the line of the bay and came up and hit you from the side. And when it starts hitting you from the side, that tailwind just disappears.
Peters out, yeah.
So now you're having a quarter the waves
yeah.
and head down into
it's like crossing a stream.
The bay a bit and then turn and then... It continues on as a bit of a tailwind close to shore on the far side.
Yeah.
What a pain in the arse. You really have to think about that. But if you then have to think, is it worth taking an hour to go through the bay or take the half hour and fight the winds?
Mm. See, you're putting in so much more effort trying to fight the winds.
Right? Right? So it was hit or miss depending on the bay. But with that tailwind, and it grew into a big tailwind.
Okay.
I'm talking like 2.5 foot rollers.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
I was
especially
surfing.
Especially for solo.
I was surfing that canoe. Like half the front, the canoe, the front half.
Yeah.
There was nothing under it. And I was making, so when I look at my spot, information.
Yeah.
So you're usually, if you're solo paddling 3-4 kilometers an hour.
Sure.
Get a nice tailwind, 5, maybe 6.
Yeah. Get 2 people paddling, you can do about 6.
I was almost 13 kilometers an hour. I made, almost 38.84 kilometers that day.
Yeah.
I was just booking it.
Wind power.
The wind just got behind me and just... Yeah.
I just... You popped into the mic and everything went maxed out because you popped it.
Oh.
I thought it turned it off for a second. I was like, oh, what happened? But no, it's fine.
It's gone. We're good. We're good. We're good. It better not die now. So I made some really good distance. Hard to find a camping spot. So I kept going.
Yeah.
Right? And like I say, I was having fun. I wasn't panicked because you're thinking, oh my God, like these waves.
Yeah. It's going to tumble.
Because if all of a sudden the front of my boat goes down, I'm nailing the back.
Nose into the next wave.
Into the wave behind in front of me. And it's filling with water.
Yeah.
Right? But I was just, you know what? I'm just lean back, having fun. Not panic, relaxed, enjoying the ride.
You can see why it's a kayak trip, and it like or you need a like a what do they call the covers for canoes?
That you need a canoe cover there for those. Yeah, but like I say, it was just like in the moment.
Yeah,
watching all this gorgeous scenery go by, mm-hmm. just
yeah,
making great time, very little effort. Then it started to die down, and yeah. you know, so it got out of that sort of deal, made it close to shore, closer to shore. Mm-hmm. It was already fairly close, but started looking for a spot, finally came across one, and it was a multi-tiered gravel beach.
What does that mean?
So when you come in to the beach,
yep.
you go about 5 feet, and the beach raises about 2 feet.
You get the erosion and different
water levels.
And then
you go about 4 feet,
yeah.
and it raises about 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go for about 4 feet, and it raises about another 3 feet. I was on tier 4, looking way down. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to bring all my stuff up that. Because, of course, if the winds pick up, there's yep. nothing to tie your canoe to.
Yeah.
So you got to bring everything up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But at the top, there was a fire pit somebody had made.
Oh.
And there was a couple of tent rings
oh, from okay.
rocks.
Yeah.
It had been used before. It yeah. was some of the nice packed wet sand.
Mm-hmm.
So everything went into it nicely. So, yeah. at the end of the bay, I saw one of those cabins that were hunt camps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I saw 5 of them in total on the island.
Like a trap line type thing?
Yeah. Well, no, just people go in there. They bring people in for the fall and stuff yep. like that. And the indigenous people go in there and camp and do their fall hunts and stuff. It did turn into a cold, damp evening. I went out back of the camp to use the facilities later in the evening and heard something about 10 feet from me. So I turned my headlamp on, scared the crap out of a big porcupine.
So you and the porcupine went to the bathroom.
So both of us went to the bathroom. Yeah, it was a really nice spot. Went out and did some fishing. Again, big bag of nada. Figure out, might as well keep it going.
Yeah.
Day 9 was a rest day. Spent the morning doing some photography again. Like I say, it had been previously used as a site. I figured, the wind dies down, maybe I'll have a fire, but it really didn't. As I was doing some photos on the beach, a float plane was crossing over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it made a detour straight towards me.
I saw you.
And it lowered and turned and flew directly in front of the beach, looked over, gave it a little wave, vroom, off he went. Just checking in.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're so uncommon to see people. And, of course, I got the orange marmot tent,
mm-hmm.
so he could have seen that from, you know.
Should have mooned him.
So, yeah. Give him the finger as he's going by. I thought it was kind of cool just to, you know, see somebody come over,
well,
check.
Well, it's good
just
because it's like, you know, it's so isolated out there at that latitude.
If something was going on, I could have waved him down.
Does this guy need help? Oh, he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring peanut butter. Ran out of peanut butter. Sun was intermittent, but I put the solar charger out on top of to top off a couple of battery packs. Sun came out fully after lunch, warmed things up, put out stuff to dry, shoes, rain gear, that sort of stuff, and then just spent the rest of the lazy day reading, exploring, and napping. I'm sitting there reading. I took the Lonely Land, Sigurd F. Olsen. I took that one to read. It was a nice thick book. And I'm sitting there reading, and I knew I was tired, but I'll read anyway. Next thing you know, my head's on my chest, and I just, huh, what? Oh, that was a nap. And then I was just hoping for a nice, calm day the next day, right? Yeah. Day 10, sunny, bit of cool headwind, put on the sunscreen, but kept the jacket handy, solar charger out on top of all the gear while I was paddling. 6 hours of a nice, lazy paddle brought me halfway up Memory Bay. So Memory Bay is one of the places I want to get to.
Yes.
Because there's a big waterfall up into the north end of it I wanted to check out, coming off the main island. I thought, I'll go up there and paddle, get a camp close there. So the next day is the rest day. I can go up and check out that, do some fishing, that sort of stuff. I had a scope with me, not a pair of binoculars, just one scope.
Yeah.
I looked up. All I saw was like trees right to the shore and cliff.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting up there to camp. So I there's a narrow spot at Memory Bay near the, about halfway up. I crossed over, and there's a point there that I found a nice little spot to camp. So I set up my camp there, figure, okay, next day's a rest day. I can paddle up into Memory Bay to the waterfall and then fish coming back.
Yeah.
So I did all that and whatnot, did some exploration of the area, lots of mushrooms. I saw these orange mushrooms that were the size of like massive dinner plates, big orange ones. Nice evening just to sit around, enjoy the calm, sheltered bay I was in. There was no wind, no nothing. Water was like glass. Sat in my chair, sipping my drink, enjoying the scenery, watching the moon, the whole meal deal. Never got to see any northern lights.
Oh, no.
No. Oh. Saw some stars and stuff like that.
And you were pretty far north.
Yep. Didn't see any northern lights. So figure, yeah, you know what? Relax. Next day's going to be a nice rest day. Head up into Memory Bay. That was the plan. Head into Memory Bay, where it's supposed to be the waterfall and that, and then fish on the way back. Maybe hopefully have some fish for dinner. However, I received a message about weather in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And that it looked like it was heading my way. Bad weather was supposed to last a few days, which would not allow me to make the big crossing back to the mainland. That was the key, getting to and from.
Yes.
Those are the only two
things. It's a big open water crossing.
It was huge water crossing. So the whole thing comes down to, do I hunker down, see what happens, or do I break camp and make the crossing?
Mm-hmm.
And these are, if I was with somebody, it may have been a total different conversation.
Sure.
But when you're solo,
mm-hmm.
and you know you've got a 3-hour paddle across big open water.
Yeah.
And when you're out there, there's nowhere to go except back or forward.
Yeah.
You got to start weighing your options.
Exactly. It's like, talking safety here. This was the storm that had hit Toronto. And anybody who's been watching the news lately, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of the videos.
Yeah.
Like there was
Rogers Stadium got
flooding. Oh, yeah. Destroyed. Rogers Stadium got destroyed. And
there
was major. Oh, Don Valley always floods and rain, but there's other places that got flooded too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of rain. And it hit in two parts. Like, I was at work. I got to work, and it was like, it was hammering down. I was like, oh, this is crazy. This is heavy, heavy rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard about that. Like I said, I heard tornado warnings
and
all that sort of stuff. So I'm like, one of the cons of going solo is you've got to do everything yourself and, you know, be wary of things. And if I was dealing with potential thunder and lightning storms and possible tornadoes, there's no easy way out, and I would not be able to make that crossing.
Exactly.
Right? And if it was there to, you know, the bad weather was supposed to last till about Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's quite a while to be hunkered down. And there is no real 100% shelter areas there.
Exactly. Yeah, right? You didn't have a lot of trees. There's a lot of scrub rushes.
There's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
You just can't get into them.
Yeah.
Right? With all the info I had, I decided, you know what?
Let's make a run
break
for it.
Break camp.
Yeah.
Leave the waterfall and fishing for another day. I've seen hundreds, thousands of waterfalls in my life.
Not that one.
Missing. Yeah, shut up. We're going to take a commercial as I go across the table and beat Derek. You know what? Memory Bay, if I go back again with somebody,
it'll be a goal.
I'll go the other way, and Memory Bay is going to be another rest day.
Mm-hmm.
Camp up there, go see the waterfall, do some fishing, that sort of stuff. Plus, Mount Babel is right there. I did see Mount Babel because it's the highest point.
Yep.
Got a couple pictures, but, you know, it looks small because, you know, everything is big. So by the time I was heading down Memory Bay back towards the main water, sunny out, clouds moving in, I was able to island hop a couple islands before getting to the one that has the largest open water crossing of the day. So I stopped before the point of the last island, got out, stretched, made sure my water was topped up with electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
and had a snack and made sure there was extra snacks close by that I could just grab and that. And as luck would have it, the winds blowing the clouds in turned into a nice tailwind.
There you go.
So I popped out behind the point into the big open water and had that nice little assist. But still, it took me 3 hours to cross from the one island at Memory Bay, the big island at Memory Bay, across to just north of or south of Station Wapishka. And I got there, what, 4:30 in the afternoon. I had – now, there's an area just before it where I was going to make camp.
Yeah.
And it was great. If you wanted to pitch a tent, you could have pitched your tent in 10,000 spots. It was so wide open.
Oh, too wide.
And if there was thunder and lightning storms, I was the high point.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the high point. So I just figured, you know what? I'm another half hour to an hour away from my truck. If I'm going to get slammed by this, I'd rather be in my truck than in a tent.
Yeah.
So I just made it back to Station Wapishka and loaded up my truck, paid for my truck parking, chit-chatted for a bit. That was the first conversation with somebody I'd had in 11 days. Not talking with somebody, no cell phone,
so
nothing.
So weird, eh?
For 11 days. The girl I was talking to there, she says, so what about the person you went with? Did they enjoy it too? I said, no, there was no, it was me. And she came and was like, you did it solo? Congratulations. Again, really nice people there.
Yeah.
If you're going up that way or thinking of going up that way to do something, definitely stop in there and take advantage of some of their hiking trips and guided stuff. And they do guided kayak trips out and stuff like that too. So, loaded up my truck and headed south to Bay Como, making a stop at Manic 5 to see it at night. Filled up and everything, checked on my straps again in Bay Como, which is like almost four hour drive down. Then an hour from there is Forestville, and there's a place called Pipeline Connect or something like that. But there was like 40 big rigs parked there for the night.
Yeah.
And at the back end,
I just snuck the big rigs.
I just pretended I was one of the big boys. Parked back there, had another 3.5 hour snooze. And it's funny because when I woke up, there was like, you could see, wait a minute, there used to be trucks there, and there. And they had all
disappeared.
And there's some new trucks there. So it's very transient, which was, you know. One of the things was the ferry at Tadoussac. I was not heading back up to Saguenay to... on that nice windy
that
road again. So I figured, whatever. It's only an hour to Tadoussac. I'll hit the ferry because it's a 24-hour ferry, right? Goes 24 hours a day. All right, how much is it going to cost me for a ticket? It's free.
It's a major route. Part of the transportation system.
I thought I was saving some cash on the way by not buying a ticket.
Yeah.
There is no ticket.
Yeah.
So, all right, so I hit that. Nice, relaxing drive. So the one funny thing about the ferry, there was a young couple in front of me in their little SUV thingy.
Yeah.
So we all get parked there, and everybody wants, it's pouring rain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's coming down in buckets. So what you guys had was hitting, right? And you can see some lightning and stuff. But so everybody wants to get out and see across, you know, Tadoussac across where we're going to. They want to look up and see the big tower of the ferry, see where we came from. So they both get out of their vehicle. What? I'm like, who's stealing your car?
On a ferry.
When they get out of their car, I'm jumping in and I'm stealing it. I just sit there. Because you know his habit.
Yeah.
Right? They just got out. Oh, out of habit, he just hit the button, right? But I'm just sitting there giggling. Dude, who is stealing your car
isolated
in the middle
on a ferry. You're on a ferry in the middle of a river.
Right? I don't know. I was there 5 minutes ago when we got on the ferry, and when we got off, it was gone. I don't know what happened between that shore and this shore. So, it was a nice, relaxing drive home. Like I say, Forestville there before Tadasaka. I had a nice snooze there. So, again, just a couple of audio books and satellite radio with 5,000 channels and cruise control, snacks and all that, and just take it easy getting home.
How long was the ferry ride? It's a very large crossing, like 20 minutes?
No, yeah, it's like 20 minutes, if that, 15, something like that, yeah. 7.5 days of paddling, half a day windbound, 3 rest days, 11 days of fun.
Mm-hmm.
No people, cell phones, or work.
Did you get the ringing to leave your ears?
No, it never did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was the ringing and the thumping.
Mm-hmm.
Had a real beat going on in there. I always have ringing in my ears.
Oh, okay.
Too many heavy metal concerts growing up.
I find it takes about 48 hours for the ringing to stop my ears from...
Well, mine takes at least 11.
Yeah.
It probably takes longer. No rush hour traffic. Final notes here. I would go again, but I would take a second person for the paddling into the wind.
Yeah.
And again, you have to go there expecting the wind and the waves.
Exactly. It's the
weather. If you're going to get all pissy because of the wind and the waves every day, don't go.
Yeah.
And I knew that going in. So didn't get to see the waterfall in Memory Bay, but I've seen many waterfalls. So not a massive big deal, but I still want to go back and see it.
Yeah.
Didn't get to see the caribou, but I saw tracks, so I'm that much closer. At least I saw tracks this time.
Yeah.
I know what to expect when tripping there, so it makes it easier and less stress about finding, you know, all these rocks. Am I going to find a spot? You'll eventually find a spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may not be
ideal,
the bestest spot in the world, but, you know, don't go there with a group of seven expecting everybody to put up their own tent, because it ain't going to happen. Being a reservoir with fluctuating water levels, maps are just basic guidelines.
Yeah, things are going to change. Right? Depending on
how I was quite impressed with the maps I've made.
Yeah.
And the distance markers and all that. I put a lot of work into that. And day one, out the window it went.
This is not going to work.
Make your itinerary with places you hope to hit, but expect it to change.
Yes.
Because you still have to leave a safety kit with your home base.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like I say, Tracy followed me, and I even emailed everything to my daughter in Japan. She went to 7-Eleven, printed everything out so she could follow the tracker too. And, her and Tracy were chatting back and forth.
Okay.
Well, I think he missed it. I think he did. But no, if I look here, that island's not there on the computer. But when I look on his maps, there's an island there.
Yeah.
So he's probably missed the island. So they're having their own separate adventure, right?
Yeah.
Living vicariously through me. But, like, I went to some good work making these maps, and they were, at the end of the day, they were just a guideline.
Yeah.
You know, to hopefully find the spots you were looking for, but so many things on the ground there were completely different than the maps, which is, I mean, is an adventure in itself, right?
Yeah.
So, but now I know, and there's a couple of people I'd said, if you're interested in going, I can pass off my maps. They may not want them now. Or they might. They might want them now. But you have to still leave your itinerary with people. Let them know.
Absolutely.
These are what I'm aiming for.
If you're going to be looking for my body, this is where it might be.
Because, I mean, still, he said, you know what? He had been aiming for this on this day.
Yeah.
So he's somewhere. But this was the last check-in point. He was aiming for here. So this gives them an idea, if something happens, where to look. Right? Then I'm going counterclockwise, not clockwise.
Did you see any trip reports where people went clockwise?
No, I think most people went counterclockwise.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a reason or meaning for going that direction.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
6.5 to the other, saving the best for last.
Yeah, I guess.
So I guess some people, if they're just going across and heading to Memory Bay and back,
then
but not circumnavigation.
Yeah.
Now, I think everybody. Pretty sure everybody went counterclockwise. And I mean, it's just a safety thing to give people an idea this is what you're doing. Exactly, so that they can then pass on.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when if I hit SOS, they're calling Tracy going, yeah, this goober hit SOS and he's got you as an emergency. Who is it? Oh, just my dumb husband. And if you're going and you're choosing somebody to go paddling with you, make sure they love wind, waves, and rocks. Lots of rocks. It was a blast. I really had a blast. It's somewhere totally different than I've ever paddled before.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of great stuff to see, a lot of easy stuff to do. There were some challenges to get over, which you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'm sure I was going to hit the Arctic Ocean at some point because I was just going in a straight line for days. And then seeing, you know, figuring out things like the compass, how to see how much you're changing and where you're, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And how one channel looks like this on the map, but isn't that channel.
Yeah.
It's something completely
it's different.
Or that looks like this on the map, and it's something completely different, right? So, yeah, it was cool. I would definitely do it again. Had a great time.
Let's get a group together. You know? Let's do it.
I can fit two canoes on my roof and four people
there
in the truck.
Go. Perfect.
Right?
Yeah. So this is your first trip with the Spot X.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that work out? Did you, like, I know we had a few problems tracking you, but
the
overall,
tracking,
though,
you know, overall it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I could send messages, I could receive messages, and like I say, the main reason I got this one was for you to be able to keep an eye out for forest fires, because as we've talked about recently, is, you know, that's the new thing.
Yeah.
Is it's a new way of the new way
of
it.
A lot of reports of Northern Ontario and BC, people getting stranded and trapped.
Right?
Yeah.
Last year, Quebec, Northern Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured at least this way you could message me and say, hey, by the way,
watch out.
There's a big fire that's heading towards where you parked your vehicle.
Yeah.
You're never going to make it there in time, but when you do, don't expect your vehicle. Just telling you.
Yeah.
But also for really bad weather.
Exactly. Which is what we saw.
And like I say, by the time I was heading down to Baie-Comeau, it was raining.
Yeah.
By the time I got to Tadoussac, it was just coming down in buckets.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to be in this.
I would not want to have been trying to make that decision at that point going, do I make the 3-hour crossing or not?
It's amazing how much rain came down here because the day that I messaged you, it had just hit. And I looked at the weather forecast. It's like, oh, that's heading right for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Like, there was, while I was on the water, there wasn't anything really massive rain-wise.
Yeah.
It was all light showers or mild. Like, there was nothing massive.
Mm-hmm.
That all happened at night.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome way to do it because I'm sleeping anyway. But, yeah, the thing, and I talked to the girl at Station Wapishka at the end there and said, like, everything is just so big.
Yes.
And it reminds me of when I lived out in Saskatchewan. You'd see all the canola fields going. It's just sky and yellow fields for miles. And it's like, it just like looks like it never ends. And then you're watching this water in all areas.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just never ends.
Amazing.
Right? And the one thing I will say, because getting back to the Spot X, the messages came through and all that sort of stuff, no problems. The tracking, I never had this problem with my Gen 4 or my original brick.
Yep.
Here it shows the footprints, and then all of a sudden there's like a little pause, a circle with two lines in it, like a pause button on the bottom. And at that point, you guys are saying, you're not getting,
we haven't seen
you haven't seen me move in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped, and then all of a sudden I get this thing. So I got it somewhere I'd read in all the material, stand it straight up and down. It comes with this little holder thingy.
Yeah.
So you can stand it. So it's in the middle of my canoe on top of all the gear.
Yeah.
Nothing blocking it. I got 5 kilometers of water that way, 5 kilometers of water that way. Probably 20 that way, 20 that way, bright blue sky.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I get this message up saying, it seems your spot is having problems finding clear sky.
So now, move it. I thought about that is you're at very high latitude. Your best GPS the locational info is near the equator, right? It does get weaker because there's fewer satellite angles that you can catch up north.
And see, I thought that as well.
Hmm.
So I had actually positioned it pointing south.
Okay.
Didn't make a difference.
Hmm.
So with all that wide open space, and then when I got my truck and I started driving south, it's on my dashboard flattish. It's got the canoe right over top of the front of the canoe over top of it blocking. It's got the roof of my truck, the doors, everything behind it.
Yeah.
It's more enclosed than it's been all week, and it's ripping off tracking signals left, right, and center. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So I'm going to call them and have a little discussion.
Yeah. Like, say what am I missing?
What am I missing because here?
When I Googled it for you, it was if there's heavy clouds or like if you don't have really good view of the sky, or what else to say? Oh, it said it can. It might need a software update or just might need a hard reset. So
I did the hard reset
again. And
somebody had said, make sure you know how to do a hard reset before mm-hmm. you go. It's got a sticker right on the back that tells you how to do a hard reset.
Yeah.
Wait, I think it said do this and do this. And I turned it around. Oh, to do a hard reset. Yep, that's right.
That's right.
So
on
I
the
did
back.
The hard reset and all that. Because it actually froze at one point.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just like, huh. So I'm going to give them a call and find out what the deal is. But at the end of the day,
it was good. It was good.
Full 207 and a quarter kilometer trip from Station Wapishka to Station Wapishka. Not bad for a solo trip.
That's a good trip.
For somewhere I've never been. Very little info
very
on it.
Very challenging.
It was cool. If you've ever been thinking of doing it, do it. Just know wind, waves, hard to find camp spots.
Yeah.
Or, well, it's not hard to find. You just got to be looking for them
exactly.
before you think, oh, 4 o'clock, time to quit.
Yeah, start planning for the stop.
Yep. Yep. And you'll have a blast.
What time were the sunsets? Like, you were quite 7:40. Far north.
8 o'clock was dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was pretty getting, started to get dark. Where I need to, if I'm reading, I'm definitely using my headlamp. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm very excited that you went.
Manicouagan Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew it as the Manicouagan Crater.
I always thought it was Manicouagan.
Yeah, Manicouagan. Manicouagan. It just stuck out to me that one day, and I figured that's the place I'm going.
Yeah, there you
go. I did my research. That's the place I went. And now it's just like... Yeah, I would definitely take at least one other person to go next time. Yeah. Because you could make more distance faster and give you more time to hit up some of these little inlets on the island itself and do a little bit more exploration.
And if you get into bad weather, you have a second person. Somebody is like just even ashore or out on the boat. It's like for getting through wind and waves, it's a lot easier with two people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, the weather itself wasn't bad at all. I mean, the rain, you deal with that anywhere. But... it was every day was wind and waves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're good with that,
exactly.
You'll have a blast. Yeah. You'll have a blast.
The view would be amazing.
Yeah. And if you have extra days, you can stay at Station Wapishka and then book one of their little hikes up into the Gruel Mountains.
Oh,
That's some beautiful area, man. You would like that.
Hmm.
You, Peter.
Yep.
Get you guys to do all the. Adirondack stuff, through there for a few days. I think you'd have a blast up through there. Anyway.
Very cool. It's a very awesome trip.
I had a blast. Glad I did it. You know, it gets you out of the normal stuff that you do.
Yep.
Like in 2 days, I'm heading up to Temagami. Gone for 2 weeks, come back to work for 2 days, gone for 4 days. This is awesome. I can get used to this.
Exactly.
I do have photos and stuff like that. I'm gonna post
trip log
and whatnot, and post some photos of the area. But yeah, definitely, if you've ever thought about doing it, put it on your radar for next year. Feel free to drop me a line, and I'll with any questions you have, and I will gladly answer them for you. I'm then going to see if I can spice up these maps some.
Yeah.
And then when they are spiced up a bit, I will, based on what I do know now, I will, if people post want it. Them, I can send, email them to you. And
yeah.
You can just go and print. I printed all these on 11 by 17, mm-hmm. which fits in my recreational barrel works map case.
Perfectly.
Yeah. Right? So I had those maps at the front, and mm-hmm. then as I moved off of each one, I just put it in the back, and then I had flipped it over, and my big official topographical map, which I ordered from the maps people, I had that one on the other side, so I can see all of that. So, yeah, it was good.
Beauty.
And that's all I got to say about that for now. There's so much I want to say about it.
Yeah, but you can't have a 3-hour podcast on it.
Why not?
But we'll touch base on it over the next couple of weeks a few times.
Probably. Like I say, my greatest day, the 30, almost 39 kilometer day.
That's a big day.
Surfing a 16-foot prospector loaded. Dude, if there was somebody with me, I would have stood up and had them film me surfing this giant canoe. I just sat there, calm, cool, collected, let it happen.
Yeah.
Because I know if I would have panicked, that would have been it. That would have been.
Yeah.
I don't know. His spot stopped pinging.
Well,
6 days ago,
Tracy messaged me once. She goes, "Hey, did you see? Can you see him?" And then we started talking, and she says, "Did he tell you about his seat?" I said, "No." "Did he tell you about the sail?" I said, "No."
That is the one thing with that messaging. I am dropping right now. I've got unlimited messaging.
Yeah.
So Tracy liked it so that she could ask how my day was going.
Yeah.
Which I tried not to, because the whole purpose of getting out there is
getting
not
away.
To have.
Yeah.
All of that, right? Yeah. So it was just most of the stuff was trying to figure out the spot, you know, what the hell's going on.
Why is it not working?
Are you guys seeing this? Is it working out? And, hey, weather's coming in, that sort of deal. I'm actually dropping it so I don't get unlimited anymore.
Yeah.
I get 20 messages a month, which is like, oh, only 20. Yeah, so they will be for emergencies,
only
not to say, hope you're having a good time.
Now, I think it's only messages you send, or does it also count the message you
receive?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And everything else is $1 US each.
Oof, that adds up.
Yeah. So I'm going to then, if you want to be...
If you message me,
you
want to
be sending me
you
messages, that'll be $37 US, please. Because you can't keep your fingers off your keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
And question is, do the messages count if I don't read them? yeah, so if you have any questions or anything like that, and give me some time, I will definitely spruce these maps up some and make changes. And if you're thinking about doing it next year, I can send you my little dossier so you can sort of have an idea of what you're, you know, put you just that little bit farther ahead of the deal. I wish that info was there for me. I could glean some stuff off the trip reports that were there. Yeah. So, like I say, things like wind, waves, rocks.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're a is it Noah Booth for Northern Scavengers? Is the guy that's, is he a geologist or something?
I can't remember.
I don't know how he's not been there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to send him a message. Dude.
He passed right by it. Why? His other trips.
He lives up there, does he not? Up that way? Or farther? Is he in Nova Scotia?
He's in Nova Scotia.
Oh, he's
in
Nova Scotia. He's that way?
Yeah. In that general direction.
He's easty. I don't know how he's not been there.
Well, he might have been.
But you know what? If he takes somebody there, if he's that much in geology and the other person isn't.
Oh, it'd be so much to see.
They might get beaten.
Look at this rock.
Okay, stop with the rocks.
I'm going to throw it at you.
Out. Catch.
If you show me one more rock.
Right. Alrighty. Nothing else to add?
Nothing to add.
Alright, well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can download and stream our episodes at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at BattlingAdventuresRadio.com and stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.